Rainbow Wrap-Up is sponsored by Hawaii Sports Fans. Come join us for every UH football game on the road at hisportsfans.com. Aloha and welcome to another episode of the Rainbow Wrap-Up. Sometimes it seems that we don't get onto our pace of weekly shows that we want to get to, but thank you for your patience. But you know, here at Rainbow Wrap-Up, we're celebrating traveling and love of sports and extreme FOMO, like I say, I always have, so I have to be at games. So that's why I kind of lost my voice. But anyway, I'm excited to bring on my crew. And of course, we got my boy Sean. What's up, Sean?
Hey, what's up, Wayne? What's up, Warrior Nation?
And stepping in for Ryan, we got Jenny. What's up, Jenny?
Aloha. Go Bows.
Go Bows. Yes. I'm really excited to have Jenny here co-hosting tonight. We're going to talk heavy men's volleyball because UH men's volleyball, that is. We obviously had a major catastrophe, maybe we look at it that way, but with the program in terms of a certain player going down for the season. But we're going to stay positive. We're going to keep it going. And we're going to be able to, you know, have things to look forward to as well. So we'll talk about that. We'll also talk about our trip to Long Beach this past week. UH going against Long Beach State, who was number two. UH just snuck in after that UCI win and got the number one ranking. So it was number one versus two. A very loud pyramid. Jenny and I were there together and with our Hawaii Sports Fans VIPs, and we had an awesome time. So we're going to talk about that. But it's also March, so that means March Madness, obviously. And we had kind of high hopes for at least the women's basketball team. You know, men's basketball was actually playing pretty well down the stretch in the regular season. So the hopes got actually higher than we thought. But unfortunately, they fell as well. So both men and women out in the semis. The men's kind of overachieving, I guess, getting that first win, or at least where we thought they would be. And the women definitely underachieving. Even some people using that other word, C word, H word, but
collapse.
No, they had a great season. And but Sean, you know, you've been to a lot of games this year. Both men and women.
No, I have not.
You didn't? Didn't you go to Beeman's big night, though?
I did.
Okay, so but you had some moments. Were you there on senior night? I was there on senior night for basketball. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I'm saying, like, you were there in the arena, though. You know what was going on this year, especially on the women's side, how it really seemed like the team was in control and there were some great moments. So, I mean, how would you categorize their ending?
I honestly thought that they would at least play in the championship game of the Big West tournament. I was really just shocked to hear that they were one and done. So, you know, but they got an invite to the, what was it?
So it's like the NIT for women, basically, but it's WBIT or women's in the division.
But they fell to California by 4 points tonight. So that's tough. So, I mean, but Beeman's doing a great job and I think she's very deserving of an extension. So I think the women's program is in good hands. Okay, the men's, on the other hand, this was supposed to be the payoff year. He had all those seniors. He had six seniors. You know, it's 80% of our scoring. And, you know, they kind of underperformed this year. They got to 20 wins, but I feel like, you know, it's the sixth or seventh year that we're not in postseason play. So 2016 was a long time ago.
Yeah.
You know,
none of those players were his players either.
None of those guys were his dudes. So, yeah. I mean, it has been a long stretch. So he's looking at a rebuild job next year and he's got 2 years left on his contract. So I honestly don't see how he does it. He'll probably have next year to prove what he's got. And if he doesn't do much, I can't see him coming back as a lame duck coach. So, we're talking about.
Yeah, I know. We're talking about Ron Gagnon, who's a nice guy, and that is important.
Really nice guy
as well.
That, super nice guy.
Is a representative, a good representative of the program, but mm-hmm. it's hard to see the results, and it's sad because the Big West really, I think it's telling that Long Beach, who was the fifth seed, I believe, in the Big West, so we were the fourth seed.
Yes.
We were the third seed. What were we?
We were the third seed. They were the fourth.
Fourth or fifth. Yeah. They're fifth, I believe. And they won the tournament.
They fired their coach on Monday.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
But what's also crazier was the seed they got in the NCAA tournament.
15th seed.
Like,
no respect.
Since when, as a UH, let's be quite honest, in our lifetime, since they went to 64 teams or 68, when has UH – the conference champion of UH's conference or the highest seed within that conference been a 15 seed, like, and one big conference 15 seed. Like, that's just crazy to me. Like, that's like saying you're one of the worst conferences, and there's how many conferences, 20 something. I mean, so for UH, yeah, that's the saddest part. And I, yeah, but You think he'll play out maybe 1 year and then
I think he's got next year to kind of show what he's got, but I don't see he's got to replace so much. He's got to replace 80% of his scoring. So
yeah, it's hard. I think this was kind of the payoff year, but you know, we'll see. I think, you know, if he I think that there are a lot of assistants that one of them he could sacrifice for the good of the program and like offer that as NIL money or something, like in a way, work it out, like. And I'm being serious. Like, I there's so many assistants. Like,
I don't understand why they didn't. Why didn't they play in that CBI? Like, if a donor offered to put up the $27,500 to sponsor them to go, why don't you go? You know, I don't.
Why?
Understand.
But what? Okay, what's the other? Why would you go, Sean? Why would you go?
To play, to show what you got.
Show who? Who's watching CBI? Do you even know what channel is that? ESPN is not carrying CBI.
I just think if you offer a game, most people are going to take it.
No, I'm asking you, not most people, Sean. I'm asking you. You don't have answers, Sean. The CBI is a BS tournament. People make up tournament. We just had this conversation off here. It's important to understand what you're getting into. Like, this is no rah-rah. Oh, this is a reward CBI. No, it's a joke. It's people coming together trying to make money off of schools. Mind you, you have to pay an entrance fee, which is not a thing for most real tournaments. There's no entrance fee plus guarantees that you have to for tickets and everything. No, that doesn't make any sense. So that's why it. Moving on to next year, like these games mean nothing. Like they don't, and what? So they can be put on to pad people's resumes. A joke? CBI? That's not a thing. That's why. Knowing that anybody can literally make up the Sean Iman, if he had money, can make the Iman Invitational. That's literally what we're saying, right? I mean, and that's why I'm saying, like, any privatized tournament can be there, but it's just, you have to understand they're not there to, first of all, there's no prestige they can give to you. That's why I'm saying, like, the extra game, okay, would be like play a game at home. Like, the season's over. It's been a long season. Like, it's like you don't deserve a postseason if your team wasn't that good. Anyways, like, you really don't. And the NIT has teams with losing records in it.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Well, if they had won one more game, they would have been in the NIT. So
why?
The loser of the Big West tournament gets to go to the NIT.
Oh, I see.
Oh, well.
Are you sad about the not going to CBI?
I'm confused because of the anytime, any place.
Well, that's for football. That's for football.
Basketball is different.
Basketball is different. But there's expensive, Sean. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's not like things just magically happen, that planes just come and carry our boys to the tournament and put them up.
Yeah, it would have been in Florida. We probably wouldn't have attracted very many people.
Nobody's going to be there, Sean. Stop. Like, you don't even watch the CBI. Stop. You don't even watch it. Like, nobody watches it. Like, it's a joke. People barely watch the NIT. Stop. That's what I'm saying. Like, we're not missing anything. It's no prestige. In any case, UH's day was compounded slightly on Friday by the losses or the match loss. Three games of losing. Well, it seemed long, but we're talking about UH men's volleyball, that number one ranking going to Long Beach. We had the Hawaii Sports Fans VIPs in town. We did some fun stuff. Jenny was there. We went to Blue Burro, which is like a burrito place. And they make the blue horchata milkshakes. And I was like, okay, I'm going to, you know, try them, just lactose. And it was delicious. But I don't know. Should we talk about it on air, Jenny? There's kind of a byproduct of drinking this blue. Well, just let them use their imaginations, I guess. But
yeah.
So... Anyways, you'll know, put it that way, in the bathroom the next day.
Wow.
Something that was, you know, blue the day before. But anyways, it was delicious. We don't want to make it too TMI, but that has to be in some reviews of the place because that was kind of insane. But yeah, so we did that. We also ate donuts, obviously, because that's what we always do. We always get some good donut places. We did a dim sum. We did a tour. We went to Chinatown. Did, of course, taco truck. We did a Korean barbecue place in Torrance. That was really great. So we always eat well. And we eat delicious kind things. And we also went to the Kettle. We always do our little late night. If you come with our groups, we always offer, you know, coming out and hanging out even afterwards to some cool spots like the Kettle. Like a late night eat spot. But a lot of people, you know, they're exhausted from the day. We always have fun days. I'm just ready to go to bed. But shout out to our group who came out. You might have seen them in some of the photos. Today there was a video posted of that play where Long Beach mishandled the pass and it went over, and Guillermo slams it. Because it went over the net and we're jumping in the back. And that was so cool. Like, you can see all of us.
That was cool.
Yeah, that was cool. I mean, the way that whoever filmed that, I mean, it was just a great angle too. And I was like, wow, that was really cool. And I remember that moment too. I mean, that game has just so many moments, but just talk about it. I mean, I'm kind of lost a voice, but Jenny, just so, if you don't know Jenny comes on a lot of trips with us, Hawaii Sports Center. She's also been a tour assistant as well and has been a huge help for me in so many ways. And, you know, it's cool to have her, you know, as someone that's so passionate about it. Because for me, you know, I'm associating with people that are, you know, in their A game of, you know, a fandom, you know, like, and it's not like, and the thing is, it doesn't matter how much money you make. We're not about who donates the most to the program. We just want people who are pure of heart and just passionate about the team. And that's really what we are as fans. But Jenny is really a cut above that even. And I know she's more than just a men's volleyball booster. She's also a really big supporter of the team. She'll show up at a lot of off-season activities just to cheer them on. And, you know, she's just been somebody that I, you know, look up to as well, because she's, you know, so committed to her UH men's volleyball team. But Jenny, just talk about, I mean, are you, you know, back to being recuperated from that? Obviously, I'm not. I can barely see the word recuperated, but... quite a weekend in Long Beach.
Right. Well, normally I don't enjoy visiting Long Beach, but for some reason, this series was just so energetic and great. I mean, it didn't turn out the way we wanted it to, but we had a lot of Hawaii fans that came out. And I would say we had at least half of the crowd was Hawaii. I mean, and it really helps them when they're on the road and, you know, their fans show up for them, especially this week, because, you know, after losing Spiros, we really didn't know how well we were going to do. And they only had a practice or two before the Long Beach series without him. Mm-hmm. So you've seen on night one how we got swept, but we started to come together towards the ending of game three. So game three ended with a score of 30-28. We were fighting them. So we went into overtime for that game. And I kind of felt like we were turning the corner on that. So we took that energy into the next game, which went into five games. And unfortunately, we lost. But
I mean,
so much fun.
Yeah. No, I didn't mean to cut you off. But like, you're right.
No, go ahead.
The electricity you brought up the point about was probably half. Which is a lot, you know, on the, to have. It's a lot of people to have for a road game, but not just a road game, but one at a volleyball heavy arena that's not very large. I mean, they only take up 4,000 people. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just talk about how electric, Jenny, it was in there. I mean, like I talked about just that moment of us reacting, how we were like going back and forth, but it was so much fun for us. I'm sure the boys had a lot of fun too.
Yeah. I mean, the match was so even. It was just going back and forth, a lot of long rallies, which you don't really see that much in men's volleyball. You usually just see them, you know, get an ace or slam the ball down once, and you don't see these long rallies like you do on the women's side. But for some reason, both nights they had a lot of really good rallies defense.
Well, talk about just, you know, when we said that Spiros went down, I mean, you were there too, Sean. You said, right? You were in
the arena. I was at Janet Jackson.
Oh, that. It's funny because that's like one of Sean's answers to a lot of things. And I'm like, Sean, you were there, right? He's like, no, I was at Janet Jackson.
Running joke.
It's a running joke.
Yeah.
But I love that.
We went for a little bit, but we left.
But so, yeah, it's crazy. You know, we talked about this too. I mean, Spiros, you know, really grew into his stature, and this was really a big year for him. But I wasn't there. I was watching it, the telecast of it from the mainland, and I was just like, my heart sank. But we kind of gathered, and then 2 days later, we talked about it. Like I said, our VIP tour, we like to do little Zoom check-ins where we talk about, you know, things about the tour, but also about the team, so people can get excited, but also get some information that, you know, the public or the media doesn't talk about, and things that even on the podcast we don't talk about. So that's why, you know, you want to come on our VIP tour so you can get in the club and, you know, hear all the good, juicy things. Sometimes juicy, but mostly just, you know, good information to know, because not everything is as it seems sometimes, I think. But definitely Spiros is a huge loss. But Jenny, well, we said the team could respond, and both of me and you both said that, you know, they still have the potential. But what did you see that you were happy about, put it that way?
Well, I was really happy to see Keone Thim and Louis Sakonoko get larger roles. Sakonoko only played in the second game in his increased role, but he was still there with serving specialists for the first game. And I think, like, you know, when they come in and they do well, it really energizes the crowd. And there's a few kills that Louis had that were just so hard that you couldn't even see the ball hit the ground.
I mean, that was really the hardest hit I've ever seen. That was the hardest hit I've ever seen. That was crazy.
Homeboy can jump out the gym.
He can, but I mean, it takes, for a hit like that he had, it takes the mechanics too, not just the strength and the jump. You need the strength to hit it that hard. You need the jump to get that high, but the timing and everything, the precision, it was so precise that it was really just one motion, which is unusual too. Like, it's usually a slap and then, you know, balls will, it's rare that a ball's even hit cleanly, but this ball was hit so cleanly and in such a insane one motion where he was high and really no block that and watching it live, it looks like a blur, like in my eye, like it was like, it was boom, boom, like it just hit the ground and I didn't even see it. I was like, I don't even know. And I was like yelling because, you know, they had their old Canada. They kept saying old Canada for their Canadian. And I was like, okay, Canada, watch out. You almost got in your face, Canada. But no, because Long Beach, they were like dumbfounded by it as well. But that was exciting. You know, Louis is just one part of it. But really, everybody had to kind of step up. Like you said, Keone really stepped up. But also Keone kind of showed signs of no fatigue later in the game, in my opinion, because he had all those errors. And usually those errors are indicative of you're getting tired when you start making a lot of hitting errors. He had service errors and hitting errors, and he had a lot. And then that's why Chaz had to come in game five. But Chaz, you know, I was kind of disappointed to see him on the bench. I don't know if you saw that, Jenny. You know, he was taken out. And Hot Dog Girl is kind of an infamous Long Beach State fan. She can't be a student anymore. She might be. She looks kind of youngish still. But she like heckles and she like asks Chaz, how's the bench, Chaz? Which I was like, okay, that's kind of But she's kind of annoying anyways. I was saying a lot of annoying things, but, and like, sometimes things off color, things that we wouldn't say, not necessarily bad, but you know, like at that level, they go more extreme in terms of what they'll say and what they'll, you know, ushers will let go in the name of fan spirit, I guess. But I have to say at Long Beach, they do bring a lot of, for the fan experience. They had a DJ there on Friday night, like an actual DJ with the turntables. And he was in the middle of the student section. So the student section was surrounding him, which I thought was really cool.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, actually, he was like near the front because they have the whole side, right? And they fill up, those student section fill up that entire end zone. It's all students. So they do bring the atmosphere. I will give them that for sure. And that's important. And it was good for people like Noi. Shout out to Noi, who came on our trip to her first time going to Long Beach. And I think her first time going to any Big West school. But it's cool to see all the Big West schools, even going to UCSB. There's always a lot of people there. UCI is going to have a lot of people.
Irvine. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's, you know, and they bring atmosphere, but they also bring their own marketing. And you can see it's very prevalent when you walk into the building, how they try to retain people and how they try to excite people. But yeah, so Jenny, I mean, in terms of that in Long Beach, was anything that sparked you in terms of fan experience?
I think they do a good job of getting the crowd hyped up. They had that one pizza promo where they come on and they have you dance for a pizza. That kind of made the crowd go crazy during that time. It's just interesting to see what other schools do. And I think we're, you know, used to seeing the same things over at UH, but I mean, still a fun environment regardless.
But it makes people go freaking berserk for that free pizza. They're like,
ah! The whole pizza? Yeah.
Like the whole pizza. People are it gets people going nuts. I'm like, how cold is that pizza for one thing? It's like in a Domino's box. I don't know how tattered it's gonna be by the time it gets to you. I don't think they're throwing it to people, but they're definitely like, who wants a pizza? And people are like, like, oh my gosh, it's insane. Like, just buy your own pizza. I don't know, but it's insane. I've never seen people go that crazy. Like, that's the craziest thing. But I was definitely proud of seeing our team, even on getting swept. One thing that we do need to talk about, obviously, is 2 years ago, the last time UH played at Long Beach back-to-back, UH lost both of those games as well. Both matches. I was there for those matches. Were you there as well, Jenny, 2 years ago?
No, I didn't go. I was too upset after 2019.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I take a break.
But, you know, and it's a rough, and the atmosphere wasn't even as crazy as it was for this past match. Like 2 years ago, it was more of a mellow. Long Beach still had a lot of people, but I don't know if they were as expected to handle us like they did, but they beat us in two games. But we were the ones that went on to win the national championship, right? So that's
foreshadowing.
Why. It's good foreshadowing, yeah. And, you know, I think with Long Beach, I respect them. They're a good team. They're a really good passing team. I think that's really the biggest issue with us, which I said, if we can pass well, then we can definitely be number one. And that's only because, you know, there are a lot of great hitters. A lot of boys can swing. A lot of guys want to be macho, but you have to play smart and you have to, you know, batter the ball every time. But it all starts with a solid pass. If you're in system, you can, the setter can go to a lot of different players. And for a young setter like Tread, it's way harder for him when he's not receiving the serves right on the net at the right spot. It's hard for him to set the middle, especially with Guillerme. You know, Guillerme, the timing is kind of tricky because it was even tricky with Jakob, who is one of our best, you know, players, obviously, and setters of all time. Jakob could put the ball anywhere, but even he and Guillerme could be off, even with all the time they work together. So, but, you know, Tread just coming along, and us having to hasten the rest of the team, because really now that and it is sad because we'll always remember Spiros, and now, you know, he'll never be able to get his awards or anything postseason honors. I mean, he really just went down at the worst time. The worst time, even in the game, the worst time, right when we were winning, right when we were about to secure the victory at the very, very end. So just crazy, crazy, crazy coincidence. Horrible coincidence, if anything. But I thought I came away positive. What about you, Jenny, in terms of our chances down the stretch, or what our outlook is? for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I mean, we took Long Beach to 5 in their own house. So I'm proud of our boys.
What do you think is, going to be a lot of the major roadblocks in terms of teams to look forward to? Because UH playing Long Beach, that's the beginning of the Big West season. So we just got started. I mean, Spiros literally went down the last point of the last point of our off non-conference, like the very middle of the season, basically. So you can't really, petition for another season. There's too many games in, and it's just really crazy. And I'm trying to dwell on the Spiros situation, but just giving you a context of where we are in terms of the boys in the season. Now the season, every week, the teams get a little bit tougher. Most of the Big West teams are usually ranked, and now they do a top 20 instead of a top 15. But we're looking at down the stretch. We have to play at Irvine, at UC San Diego, and then we have this week at home CSUN, March 22nd, 23rd, and then we're going to have UCSB, which is senior night already, basically, right? Because it's going to go – it's crazy how fast the season is going to be. So it's going to be senior night because the boys are going to end on the road. But I think they need to go undefeated. In terms of getting it out large, they can't lose any more conference games. The best-case scenario is they win every game. They lose to Long Beach in the, say, the Big West Championship, which hope that doesn't happen. But I'm saying we can't expect them to win every – it's just hard. They're a young team. Like, we're really expecting them to do so much more. And they've showed they can. They showed they're capable. They really did. And they made it so exciting. There was a lot of really great rallies, like Jenny was saying. A little too long for my liking. I'm like, gosh, somebody just kill the ball. Please put this ball away. But it was super exciting. And we had a lot of moments of being able to jump out of our seats and just pure elation, which is what makes it fun to be a fan. I mean, that's what we're going for. We're going for the vibes. We're going for those moments when we can just get really, cray, 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 because, it's fun. First of all, it's just healthy for us. Maybe it's unhealthy. Okay, sometimes it can be unhealthy, right? Sean, I think your doctor had to tell you about this, right? I'll watch out for the sports teams and, the hazards to your health that certain teams can be.
Right.
Hawaii football is one of those things. I mean, we're not just going to pick on Hawaii football, but all Hawaii sports has tested us for, forever and ever. But men's volleyball, we've been lucky, at least recently, to enjoy some dominance. And I think they're at a place now in the upper echelon of NCAA men's volleyball, wherein they should be in contention for years, every year. There should be a name like Duke of men's volleyball, college basketball, where it's like you kind of just expect them to be one of the better teams every year. And that's a lot because Charlie does a good job of recruiting too as well. But it's hard. You have to really be forward thinking when you're gonna have a roster. Yes, you can get transfers in the portal, but for Charlie, he knows that if he can identify talent that just needs to spend a little bit more time in the weight room or just needs to grow just a few more inches or lose some baby fat or something, it's okay to have let them wait a little while. And for Louis, he's kind of coming around already, but he's still very raw. But he destroyed the ball. Oh my gosh. I think our passing really needs to improve. Long Beach is a really good passing team, but we get chance. We still get chance, as we say, but we still actually get good chance. In terms of the poll, which I don't really like looking at the poll, it's I'm sure this week at least, because of the game's prominence, 1 versus 2, and because it was on ESPN Plus, I believe, right? Probably most people who voted for men on the poll probably watched the game, or at least, because that's the thing. A lot of these guys don't vote. They'll look at the scores. But for UH to still be number two, which is not surprising because really their only losses, I mean, the Loyola loss wasn't good at the time. Even when it happened, I was like, even though it's early, I was like, I don't like this because Loyola's not good. They're just not even a good team, and they're not. Mm-hmm. It's approving it. I mean, they're playing in the basketball jerseys, but which was interesting. I was like, is Sister Jean here? Because it's the basketball team. But no, I think that UH is young and it is still impressive. Like Charlie has to be commended for being able to bring along a young crew. But national championship, if that's the second best team, if UH is if Long Beach is the number one team, Jenny, I mean, I think we could talk about national championship. We don't want to botch it, but what are some hurdles you can see down the stretch? Major tests, put it that way.
I would say having to play Irvine at home for two games. I mean, I know people say it's just for the seeding for the Big West tournament, but I still feel like it's important for the team's confidence to come away with wins there at Irvine. Because that's really the team that's going to be chasing us for that at-large spot if we're in the runnings for that. But I feel like it's a big advantage for us to have to host the Big West tournament at home. And I'm hoping that we're going to peak right at that time as that tournament is coming up.
Well, Jenny has really seen, especially this squad, really the formation tour and the maturity of this maturation process of this team, because she was there even in Japan on their preseason tournament last summer. But Jenny, just talk about, and even then I asked her how confident you were watching them play against those Japanese pro teams. And you said, no, they're good. They're still going to be good. And I mean, with Spiros, even more so, but obviously, and you wouldn't have known that, foreseen that happening. But even without Spiros, it still looked pretty good. But just talking about, I mean, how you've seen, you know, certain players grow or the chemistry grow between these players since Japan.
Yeah, so from the very beginning, from the Japan trip, which was a preseason trip, we've seen Tread set for the first time, and he stood out. Just very smooth with the ball and had good leadership qualities, and also he was very you know, offensive with the ball too, just kind of like Jakob was, which I'm not seeing as much now, but I'm hoping that, you know, that comes out of him soon.
And he did dump a lot. Kevin. Yeah, sorry. Keep going. But yeah, back to Kevin. He no, did dump a lot at the Long Beach game. I do have to admit on game night number two.
That's true. He did do a couple of those during that game, but for the rest of the season, for the beginning part of the season, I haven't really seen that much from him. So I'm hoping, you know, he's going to do that and contribute a bit more. And his serves come a long way too. They said he wasn't a jump server before the season started. So he had to learn how to jump serve when he got on the Hawaii team. So the fact that he's doing that well and he's one of our better servers is, you know, wonderful. Players that we've seen, I've seen step up since the Japan, well, actually in the Japan series, they still kind of only used the starters. So we didn't get to see much of what the bench had to offer. But either way, like that, with that, the starting lineup that you would see with Spiros, they did really well against the Japan pro team, the Sakai Blazers, which is the team that Colvin Watanabe is on. But of course, the pro team didn't put their starters in, but we still played them really hard. Interesting to see the different styles of volleyball and just get to see how their fans interacted with ours. It was a great experience. We also played the Japan national champions for college, Tsukuba University, and we beat them, but it took us 5 games to do it. So,
wow.
That was also very interesting. So their best versus U.S.'s best.
They must be pretty good then, because, I mean, Japan is not very big, as obviously population-wise compared to U.S., but maybe more boys are playing volleyball per capita in Japan. I don't know. I mean, but that's pretty impressive, I would say, for Japan at least. But cool. No, I think that people still have a lot. I mean, by people, I mean avid Rainbow Warrior volleyball fans, because they have a lot to look forward to, because there's still a good chunk of the season left. The boys have proven they can go into one of the hardest places outside of the stand to play. Well, I guess it's not hard for the boys to play in the stand, but for their opponents too. But going to Long Beach, which is a smaller arena, more compact. So everybody's, you know, right on you. I mean, the student section is basically right on you when you go back to serve. They're literally like 2 feet away from you. So they're saying all kinds of things. And we could hear them. They're just being unruly. But these boys handle under the pressure. And I think that's impressive as well. Well, also got to plug UH football. We're going to try and get some of those tours on the website again soon. Washington State is something we're going to look forward to as well. That's one place we're going to. Sam Houston. Now that the schedule's up, we can update those things. So that will be forthcoming soon, and we'll take some deposits. But looking forward to traveling after volleyball season. Seems like football season is right around the corner already. And then, of course, our Japanese baseball trip. If you want, it's going to be an amazing tour. Reach out to me if you want $500 off right now. You can reach out. So we'll test to see who is listening to this podcast. $500 off. That's pretty
good. At the end.
Like $500 off. And you can say you heard it on the podcast. So yeah, $500 off definitely for that. And now, I mean, I think it's already a great deal. We're going to be sitting in the best seats at five different Japanese stadiums, trying to go to about seven games, because I think we have a doubleheader one day. And, you know, if you want to just say, hey, maybe I don't want a game every day, that's fine. You can do your own little venturing, because we'll be right in Tokyo, a really easy spot. And people know Tokyo, it's easy to walk around, it's easy to get around. It's easy. It's very walkable even. And, you know, you can just see so many cool things in any part of Tokyo, not just in the more touristy parts, but even just any part of life is just so different and vibrant there. But being able to see all those stadiums and having that twist of sports is something we do best right at Hawaii Sports Fans. So I hope people can come join us, come along. It's going to be really fun. But yes, we'll see you in Japan, hopefully. But Jenny, now that we have kind of seen what Long Beach is, kind of seen what Grand Canyon is, UCI, I haven't really seen UCLA or any other teams you think we should look out for nationally?
UCLA. And at first I thought GCU, but we took them down pretty easy. So I would say, yeah, just UCLA at Ohio State if their leading hitter comes back when he's injured now.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So, yeah, Ohio State, yeah, because injuries are huge, obviously, for UH. People are – I mean, you know that one went around the country, like Spiros is hurt. Like, oh, my gosh. So, you know, major loss for us. But like we said, we're looking forward, and the boys have, you know, turning the page, and they had to. They had very quick turnaround to have to get back on the court, but they did pretty well, and we're proud of them. But, yeah, please join us. Whenever you see us in the games, even come out and say hi, any one of us. You know, we always love meeting new people and hearing out people that listen to the show, or they see us around, or they see us on, you know, I was almost said K5, but a special. I see us on K5.
Wow, you're aging yourself. Honestly, dating yourself.
Honestly, I want to go back and look at K5 tapes and just see, like, what. Because, like, you know, like, the cameras are in the crowd. And we were always, I mean, even as a kid, I was, like, pretty, you know, animated in the crowd. So that'd be hilarious to go back and just, like, see my old self. You know, I do have a pretty infamous photo of myself as a 12-year-old in the UH men's volleyball media guide. So, and they used to give them to the fans or let the fans buy them, I believe, back in the day. It was like the program. Maybe not a meeting. Yeah, it was like kind of the media guide, the season program, mm-hmm. in the photo. So, you know, I've been there for a little while. But, you know, now kids these days have all kinds of videos of themselves.
Scan the QR code.
Oh, my gosh, yes. But yeah, so we're going to try and, you know, for men's volleyball, we obviously have the NCAA tour. We just had our Long Beach tour. You can check out some of our Instagram videos and photos from our last Long Beach tour. And we're going to, that was kind of a preview for what's to come for our main tour, which is going to be, NCAA tour. And we don't know if UH is going to be in it. So it's hard because some people want to wait, but there are people that are committed. We've got about half the tour filled, but the price is going to go up. By the time UH wins the Big West tournament, because we're going to put that out there, if you're waiting for that to happen, still not going to, it's going to be too late. So if you want the current price on the website, go check it out, hisportsfans.com. and we can only honor that price for probably another week or so, probably a week. So make sure that you are on our mailing list, but also on our social media. But really thankful that Jenny could join us. Yay. Thanks, Jenny. It's cool to have.
Pakistan.
Yeah, Pakistan. We got C-Sun. It's nice to have a woman on here as a co-host. We need more of that energy. You know, Hawaii Sportsman, I'll tell people we have more women than men, you know, that, you know, as clients at Hawaii Sportsman's even. And we have to really recognize how powerful women are in the stands and as fans. And I hope that we do a good job at Hawaii Sports Fans making everybody feel comfortable and welcome. But I really am proud of that as well. And thanks, Jenny, for representing all the mana wahine that we have associated with Hawaii Sports Fans. Yes. And thanks to you, Sean. Any last words, Sean? You know, we'll have Ryan back on probably next time, and we'll talk more UH football. But yes, last time we talked the schedule, and then afterwards we found some pukas. We also found an associate. You want to give him a little preview for next week? You might talk about somebody who might be on the roster. Do you just want to give
You might want to Google Delaware State's quarterback. It's mighty interesting.
All right. That's all he needs to say. because he doesn't want to start drama for doping facts. Gosh. But
heaven forbid.
Heaven forbid, you know, those kind of people. But for Sean and Jenny, this is Wayne. I'll see you folks next time on the Rainbow Wrap-Up. Go Bulls.
So what's so different about Hawaii Sports Fans? Hey guys, this is Wayne Cueto, and that's a question I get asked a lot, and it's a fair one. There are a lot of great local companies that will take you on the road, get you game tickets, transportation, airfare, and hotel. Yes, we can do all of that too. But the difference here is an extra layer of detail, an extra layer of personalization, an extra layer of premium amenities and adventure that you can't get anywhere else. Starting with our group size, we usually never go above 24, usually around 12 to 15, and sometimes only 2 to 4 even. It doesn't matter. Whatever size, we're going to give you that experience. We're going to give you a foodie adventure. We're going to make every moment count. There's no dead time. And of course, you're always going to be well-fed and always eating very good stuff. I can just guarantee you that. But here at Hawaii Sports Fans as well, we want to make you feel like family always. And that's something that is hard to do for most companies. But we're proud to do it here. We can't wait to have you on the road. Join us at hisportsfans.com.
Rainbow Wrap-Up is sponsored by Hawaii Sports Fans. Come join us for every UH football game on the road at hisportsfans.com.